April 26th, study of the characters of the Gospels. I got through Herod Antipas, also known as Herod the Tetrarch. We just have a couple of short ones to go, then we'll begin our next section. I gave you 6 new sheets tonight. Try to bring those back and have them with you. Or make new copies if we need to. There should be 6 total. When we get to the sheet that you need, just let us know. We'll get it in the back. Okay. We probably get through all 6 tonight anyway, so we're kind of overrun, but that's fine. Let's go ahead and finish up with the Herod's view. If you still have that from last week, I did not hand that one out. It's from last week. It says Herod Antipas at the top. If you don't have it, it's real short anyway. There's actually no Bible, no scripture to turn to. Just we kind of already covered him, Philip the Tetrarch. We'd hear of him only through his relationship with his ex-wife Herodias, okay, as far as the Bible goes. Again, his wife had left him and had married Herod Antipas. Then they got Herodias, of course, who's the ex-wife of this Philip and the wife of Herod Antipas. And she's the one who convinced her daughter to ask for the head of John the Baptist, so she was the culprit for that. And we've seen the relationship on that sheet as well. And at the very end, it's got that we won't mention in this study the other Herods, which are Agrippa 1 and Agrippa 2, since they're not in the Gospels, but they're in the book of Acts. And they involve Paul and other people, so we won't cover them. But again, anytime you're confused about the Herods, there's just 3 named in the Gospel. Okay, Herod the Great, his son, and Herod Antipas. Any questions about that? Again, we're working our way toward John the Baptist. We still have some more backstory to tell other people to talk about. So turn to your page. It says Gabriel. What we're doing here, what I'm trying to work to mainly here tonight, is get to the story of the birth of Jesus, which coincides with the birth of John the Baptist. Okay? And I'm trying to cover all the characters that are involved in both those stories. So when we get to those bigger stories, we'll know them. So Gabriel at the top means hero or mighty one of God. Appeared to Zacharias, who again was John the Baptist's father. We'll get to him in a moment. We found him first mentioned in Luke chapter 1. We're going to read that later. He was an angel of the Lord. He also appeared to Mary, mother of Jesus. Let's go ahead and turn there. This is a shorter set of verses. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." So it's this Gabriel who pronounces to Mary that she's going to be with child and want to name the child. Note also, and we'll turn over to Daniel real quick, this same Gabriel appeared to Daniel to interpret some visions. Chapter 8 of Daniel, because we covered that some time back in a different quarter. Verses 15 and 16. "When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it. And behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, and it called, 'Gabriel, make this man understand the vision.'" Chapter 9, verse 20. "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord, my God, for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice." To my knowledge, this is the only time that Gabriel is mentioned. He appears in the Old and New Testament. Now, in comparison, there's only one other angel in the Bible that's named by name. And it's listed there. That's Michael. It mentions other angels, but as far as naming specific names that I'm aware of, these are the only two that are mentioned. Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist, wife of Zacharias, relative of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, barren till she was blessed with a son. I asked the question of who else's mother was barren. There's more than this, but Isaac's mother, Samson's, Samuel, There were several women throughout Bible history who were barren for some time, but God blessed them and opened up their womb to have children. But Elizabeth is one of these. She was old in age, as they usually were, when she conceived. She's only mentioned in the book of Luke, as far as the Gospel is concerned. And she was descended from Aaron. We're going to move to Zacharias here. He also, by the way, descended from Aaron. They're both from the priestly. He was the father of John the Baptist, husband of Elizabeth, a priest belonging to the order of Abijah, one of 24 contingents of priests. He served at the temple in Jerusalem twice a year for about a week at a time. He had a vision from Gabriel, as we read about, or from Mary, about having a son. He went without speech. Let's go ahead and turn over there. I don't want to read the whole thing because of its length. But it's listed there for you for further study. Luke chapter 1, begin at verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And both were advanced in years. Let's skip down to verse 12. Let's do verse 11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. This is when he was in his service as this priest. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord, verse 11, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And we'll read Mary's account later. Mary was not one of disbelief, okay, where his was at this time. But he's going to be mute for a while. Turn over to verse 57 of Luke. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child." So the child's born the eighth day, as the custom is. They would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." Now keep in mind, the angel didn't tell her. The angel told Zechariah. And he was mute. So how did he tell her? How did she know? Of course, he could still write. He could still motion, as you see coming up here after that. Anyway, it says here that he should be called John, verse 61. "And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father." Notice they didn't speak to the father, which is odd. He's mute. Some people think maybe he was deaf too, because they didn't speak to him. They made motions to him. Something for your study. "But they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet. He wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke blessings to God here." As we mentioned, he was descended from Aaron. For a second time, we won't go over it, but if you go to the First Chronicles reference there at the bottom, that lists what their duties were. It tells about him being the eighth lot and so forth, but lists the duties of what they was doing. Turn back real quick to the beginning of Luke chapter 1. There's one thing I wanted to note. Verse 21 of chapter 1. He's there for a reason. He has a duty to perform. Okay? He's one of a select few who do this. He'd just been struck mute. Okay? "And the people were waiting for Zechariah," verse 21, "and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Verse 23, he just got struck mute, and yet he realizes his job, his service, he continues till his service is done. He didn't just pack up and go home, as many would do. He stays and finishes his term there. And so it shows his dedication there to God to do what he was sent there to do. Questions about that? Again, he was chosen, him and Elizabeth were chosen for a reason. Go to the next page. It says Mary at the top. She was the mother of Jesus, of course. I list that there because there are several Marys we will encounter. She was a young, chaste Jewish girl. She was betrothed to a devout Jewish carpenter, Joseph. They had a child by intervention of the Holy Spirit. She's from Nazareth. She went to Bethlehem for a government census, and that's where she had Jesus. It was in Bethlehem. Had four other sons. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Four other sons, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and she had at least two daughters. Again, verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us?" So again, we don't know how many sisters he had, but we know he had how many? At least two. He had a plural, okay? But don't know how many, but at least two. So she had at least two of them. Joseph, father of Jesus, carpenter from Nazareth, he decided to marry Mary after an angel of the Lord had appeared to him that told him the special circumstances involving her pregnancy. After the birth of Jesus, he resettled back in Nazareth where he came from. We assume that he died sometime between Jesus being 12 and before Jesus started his ministry, because there's no mention of him after Jesus is 12. Of course, we don't know. It could be he's still alive, but he just didn't do anything that God that we needed to know. That's the other possibility. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Questions or comments about anything so far? In those days, again at verse 1 of Luke 2, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child, so she's pregnant at this time. Caesar Augustus and this Quirinius. Nothing really I'm going to take from the Bible. This is just from historians, so keep that in mind. Our month of August is named after him, Caesar Augustus. He was a Roman who succeeded his uncle Julius Caesar. And one of the things I find interesting, we know these other characters of history, such as Julius Caesar. You know, these were around the same time. Okay? He'd already been passed before this time. Caesar had already been murdered. But these same people we know around this time. He was born at 63 B.C. according to history. He had gotten rid of his last rival, Mark Antony. We know that name as well, in 31 B.C. He reigned until 14 A.D. And again, this is not scripture, but historians say that the empire had unparalleled a period of grace and prosperity, and he was one of the most just of ancient rulers as far as just goes. Quirinius, as named there, is the governor of Syria from 6 to 4 B.C., then proconsul of Asia from 3 to 2, and then a second time back as governor from 6 to 9 A.D. So he served several different roles and offices. According to tradition with him or history, he had a sensitivity to Jewish emotions, and he allowed this census that was taking place in his province, his area, to be taken by Jewish traditions rather than Roman ones. And since he was aware of their customs and so forth, he took role by tribes and by households. That's what history tells us. Questions about that? Go to the next sheet. It says Simeon on the top. If you don't have it, these are short as well. Two more people before we move on to our next section. Simeon. Turn to Luke chapter 2. This was an aged Jew who devoutly waited a lifetime in the temple precincts. He just wanted to catch a glimpse. He wanted to see God's chosen one. And he recognized the infant Jesus as the one he'd been waiting for. Luke chapter 2. This is when they go to present Jesus in the temple. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And it talks about how his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Anna, this other person mentioned in the same reading, was a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, married from her virginity for 7 years, and then her husband died. So she was married from her virginity, husband died, and now she's 84 years old. She never remarried. It says she never leaves the temple, meaning she's constantly there praying. She's there waiting around the temple. And she too announces that Jesus is this one to fulfill God's promises. Verse 36, same chapter. Prophetess named Anna, daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Questions or comments about that? Now to my knowledge, we've covered everybody. And I didn't mention wise men because there's no one specifically named. I didn't name shepherds. We're going to talk about both those in this next section here. Timeline of Jesus' birth until His baptism. Does everybody have that sheet? There's actually two of those that go together, and there's a map that goes along with it. So you've got these two sheets here. And then the map. Some confusion about when things happened involving Jesus' birth, when certain people visited Him, when He went to certain places, and so we're going to try to look at that closely here and unravel that, make it a little more simpler here by looking at Scripture and putting these things together. So we get to the very top of the first sheet. We first have, and if we've read these before, we won't go through them again because of time, but we first have the announcement to Zacharias of John the Baptist's birth. That's from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Again, an angel had appeared to him, Gabriel had appeared to him and says, you're going to have a son. As we already read, of course, he's mute. 6 months later, we'll turn back over there to Luke chapter 1. The announcement comes to Mary by this same angel. We already read that, but let's go ahead and look at verse 26 again. In the 6th month, this is after we just started talking about Zacharias seeing this angel. 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man. So we know a couple of things here. 6 months later, and what city are we in? We're in Nazareth. Okay? That's our starting point. We see about that same time period that Mary visits Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Let's drop down there. In those days, Mary arose. And by the way, keep in mind, Joseph's not heard anything yet. Just Zechariah, just Mary. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she was aware of it as well. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. We won't read through Mary's song of praise there. Verse 56, Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned home. So 6 months, she's there 3 months, we got a total of 9 months. Okay. Next section there says 3 months later, Mary returns back to Nazareth. We just read that in verses 56. It's been 3 months for Mary. She's showing that. Okay? She's showing her pregnancy. Joseph's not seen her. Joseph's not been with her. Then we have this announcement to Joseph, Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So he's suspicious, obviously, of her. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, not Gabriel, but we're told, an angel of the Lord, appears to him in a dream. So he's asleep. We've talked about dreams and visions in the past. We've had lessons on that. This is a dream. He's sleeping. Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So it skips a bunch of things right there. His overall story. But he finally gets this announcement. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Again, it's been 9 months. It was 6 months. Mary stayed 3 months, so about the time she's leaving, if not before, Elizabeth's ready to have John the Baptist. We're not told whether Mary's still there or not this time. Chapter 1 and verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore him a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And we've already read that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they named the child John. Skip down to verse 80. Still talking about John here. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Again with John, it skips a bunch of things. Okay? As far as his life, where he's growing up. But all we know so far is it's been a total of about 9 months. John the Baptist has been born, and Mary and Joseph are in Nazareth. Correct? And Joseph's been told that he should not fear to marry her. Then we have this decree of the census. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, as we read, all the world should be registered. We read verses 1 through 5. Let's get down to verse 6. And while they were there, this is because they've left, they've gone back to Bethlehem now. This is where Joseph had to go. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Go to your map if you have it. Everyone find Nazareth there. It's toward the top. And there's an arrow there that points number one down to Bethlehem. Nazareth to Bethlehem, as you read the Bible, is about 70 miles. Of course, they didn't have cars back then, so they had to make this trek. And, of course, Mary's with the child. Okay, so keep this in mind as well. The 70 miles they have to make this trip down to Bethlehem. So this is where they're at. Luke chapter 1, next section, we have the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. They're in Bethlehem now. For this census. As we read earlier, verse 25, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And we won't turn back to Luke chapter 2. We already read that. And so Jesus is born. While they're there, we have the announcement to the shepherds who are in the area. Turn back over to Luke chapter 2. How do we know that it's around that same time period? Well, let's look at what the shepherds are told. Remember, Jesus has just been born. He's laying in a manger. He's wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes. Okay. Chapter 2. Of Luke, begin at verse 8. And in the same region, There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Notice we're not given the name here. And it's a single angel at this time, by the way, appears to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So this day. Verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." We see verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying." So we have all these other heavenly beings at this time. But go look for this baby. He's going to be wearing these same things. So this is the same time period. So we're still in what city? We're still in Bethlehem. 8 days later, Jesus is circumcised and he's named. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. So they come and visited, so forth. Verse 21, "At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. And he was given the name that he was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Remember, the angel told Joseph, "You're going to have a child named Jesus." So his custom is, 8 days later, we have this happen here. Now we go to 32 days later. Now how do we know it's 32 days later? Jesus' presentation in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. "When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses," keep that in mind, according to the law of Moses, "they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Where are they at now? They're no longer in Bethlehem. They're in Jerusalem. Look at your map. Distance from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. This is number 2. It's about 6 miles. So they made this trek to Jerusalem to present him in the temple. As is written, verse 23, "In the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law to the Lord, a pair of turtle doves," and so forth. After that, you'll see that's where Simeon comes in and Anna comes in and makes their proclamation. But how do we know 32 days? Well, it's been 8 days circumcised. Let's turn over to Leviticus. Chapter 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child," that's what we're talking about here, "and she should be unclean 7 days, and at the time of her menstruation she should be unclean. And on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." They've already done that. "Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying, and she shall touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed." And it talks about what they should do on a female, or it's twice that long. "And when her days of purifying are completed," verse 6, "whether a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the front of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, and he shall offer it before the Lord to make atonement for her, and then she should be clean." So it's been this total of 40 days. And they were poor, so they brought the 2 turtle doves. So where'd they go next? They're where? Jerusalem. It's been about just over a month, about 40 days. Let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 39. Which is a continuation of what we just read after they left there. Verse 39 tells us, because this is, so Simeon talks, Anna talks, and then we're told immediately in verse 39, "When they performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth." Are they in Nazareth next? Well, let's back up a minute. Have we talked about wise men yet? Have we talked about going to Egypt yet? So we've skipped some stuff here. Let's read the next verse. "While they're there in the town of Nazareth, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." So skipping a lot of years there. He's growing up. He's becoming wise, wisdom, and so forth. So Luke is telling a summary here after they leave there. So we've got to go find something else to find out where they're at. Go to the next page. They had to go back to Bethlehem. Go back to your map. Number 1, they go down to Bethlehem. Number 2, they go up to Jerusalem. Number 3, as it curls around, they come back to Bethlehem. Well, how do we know that? So this presentation of the temple happens. They're not in Nazareth. You know, Luke says that. Why? Again, wise men haven't visited yet. No flight to Egypt. And Herod's about to kill all these males. Where was Herod told these children were at? The child should be born where? Bethlehem. Why else? And of course, as we find out, God warns them, get up and go to Egypt. Someone's going to come and seek the child's life. If they're not in Bethlehem, why warn them? Nazareth is 70 miles away. So they must be back in this Bethlehem. We also know it's been some time before these wise men get here. Let's turn there, Matthew chapter 2. Because their circumstances have changed. Jesus has been born. He's been presented at the temple. The wise men come. Again, verse 1. Now after this, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod. Wise men came. Let's skip down to... Of course, Herod summons the wise men and says, I want to worship this child as well. Tell me where, you know, go find him and tell me where he's at. And they go. Verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before it went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. Verse 11, and going into the house, so now they've got a house. Some kind of, they're not long in this stable. Okay, it's been some time. It never says they're in Bethlehem, but we know they have to be there because God warns them, get out. Verse 13. Now when they had departed, so the wise men had been there and given their gifts. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother at night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod, as we talked about last time. And this is so the prophecy to be fulfilled. So now they're in Egypt. And we'll stop there. Can you all remember that for next time? I'm going to cover a couple other things.